just opportunity just to serve him one more time. So have a pastor up north, and he says, you don't have to be long. You just have to be strong. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to take his advice this morning. I'm not going to be long, but amen. Prayerfully, if you pray with me, the Holy Spirit will be strong. Amen. So in saying that, if you turn to Psalms 27, I'm going to have you read verse 14. Psalms 27, verse 14.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it reads as follows. It says, I'll give people a few more minutes, still hear pages turning. Yes, sir. Psalms 27, verse 14. No, it is. Psalms 27, verse 14. Amen. And it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Our Father and our God, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord God. We love you, and we just continue to put our hands in your hands. God, you know all things. You are God all by yourself. And so we ask that you just come right now in the name of Jesus, that you would hear the cries of your people, and that you would allow your word to comfort them, Lord God, that you would allow your word to uplift them, Lord God, that your word might give them what they stand in need of on this morning. I'm asking, Father, that you would just hide me behind the cross, that they do not see me, they do not hear me, but they see you and they hear you. Speak, Lord. Your people are listening. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, in my normal fashion, I'm just going to be walking through Psalms 27 this morning. And I'm going to use for a sermon topic, in spite of it all. Amen.
Amen.
In spite of it all. You know, we all have emotions. And I don't know about you, but I know for myself, sometimes I can have more than one emotion all at the same time. Amen. One minute I'll be happy, and then the next minute somebody might say something, and I'll go south, and things just kind of happen. And so emotions are one of those things that we all have, but emotions fluctuate. And so in our who David is, he is the king of Israel. He is a mighty warrior. He is the man after God's own heart. He is a sinner, but he is also a man full of emotion. And in this one Psalms, he seems to cover all ground, if you will. We'll see him start on a high, and then he's going to go down to a low, but then he's going to turn it back around and find his place, and he's going to be high again. Amen. Anybody ever do that? Where you start out one way, and you're standing on the word of God, and you're standing on his promises, and then the next day, things are taking a little longer than you thought for God to answer, and all of a sudden, your mind is in a different place, and then again, you hear something, and it uplifts your spirit, and once again, you're walking with the Lord, and that's kind of how this Psalms kind of reads. It's up and it's down. It's up and it's down, because what? We're up, and we're down, and we're up, and we're down. And so David, as you know, David was the king of Israel, but David had a lot of enemies. And the thing about your enemies is sometimes you know who your enemies are. They'll make themselves known, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes they'll act like they are with you, when in reality they are against you. And so enemies can be known and enemies can be unknown. But in David's situation, he had one particular enemy who was right in his own household. David had this son called Absalom. And for whatever reason, Absalom wanted the power and the position of his father. And he made it known that that's what he's wanting. And so he literally chased after his father to kill him so that he could take over and that he could become the king of Israel. And so in the Psalms, many believe that David was in a process of fleeing from Absalom. Mm-hmm. But we're going to look at how David thought through this process. He has enemies coming after him. And many of us, if we were honest, we have many enemies coming after us. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as a bill collector. They call day and they call night. It could be an enemy between a marital relationship. You're going after each other as if you're enemies. But we have to remember that Paul told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so while we're battling each other, really we are not the enemy. There's something behind the scenes that is causing us to come in conflict with one another. And so we all have enemies, but our true enemies is none other than Satan himself. Amen. He is the enemy, and every time you have conflict, and every time you have controversy, and every time you have chaos, you can be sure without a shadow of a doubt that it is not that person standing in front of you. Amen. Satan is just using them to do his dirty work. Amen?
Yeah,
David has some people chasing after him. And he starts the psalm and he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And so David knows he has these enemies, but his eye is on Jesus. His eye is on the Lord. And when we have enemies coming after us, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. My light, I'm in a dark place, but he is the light. He is the one giving me hope. He is the one continuously helping me to look up when I want to look down. And not only that, he is my salvation. What is salvation? Salvation simply means deliver. He is my deliverer. He's going to pull me up out of this thing. I don't know how and I don't know when. But until he does, he is still going to be my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? How can you fear when you know God is on your side? How can you fear when you know God has all power? How can you fear when you know that the enemy is really in God's hands? How can you fear? He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and they fell. And we know, what did Goliath say to David when he was come after him? He told him he was going to eat him like a bird, like a flesh. He's going to eat him up. But what happened to Goliath? He stumbled and he fell. And so now David is reminiscing how God has helped him in the past. Yes, when the wicked came against me, yes, they did come against me. But I saw them. They stumbled and they fell. Have you ever seen your enemy stumble and fall? Now, you don't want to laugh at them. Amen. You just want to give God the glory. But the enemy can come against you. But if you watch long enough, God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will take care of evil. And if you watch long enough, he's going to take care of your enemies. And so when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fail. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, and this I will be confident. And so David enters into this situation, standing on the promises of God. He's entering into the situation confident that the God he serves is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he asks or thinks, because God had not only done it once, God had done it many times in David's life. He had rescued David many times. He had stood for David many times. And even when David ultimately fell with his sin with Bathsheba, God forgave him and kept using him. And so he goes into this thing, my enemies are hot on my track, but I'm standing on my God. That's how he starts. Amen. But then he moves down in verse 4. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Why would David say that? Because he's fleeing. He fled Jerusalem. Where was the temple? The temple was in Jerusalem. And so now he's on the run and he can't get to that place that he desires to be. He can't get to church. You know how many people desire to be here and can't get here? That is their desire. And then those of us who can get here don't have the desire to be here. And so if you have the opportunity to come into the house of the Lord, you want to get there before trouble gets on your way. Because if trouble gets in your way and you come and find yourself that you cannot get here, your heart's desire is that you're good. Just go, if I can just get to the church house. And so David's on the run, and he wanted to get to the church house, but he wanted to get there for a reason.
Yeah.
And the reason was, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. There's something about being in church, something about being in the sanctuary, that even if all the trouble surrounds you, when you come into the house of God, you can feel his presence. Yeah. We should be so mindful that this is the house of God. When people come, they're coming seeking something. They are coming to seek the presence of God. They are coming to feel his presence. They are coming to be uplifted. They are coming to lay their burdens down. And so it's important that we know that this sanctuary is not our sanctuary. This sanctuary is God's sanctuary, and it serves a purpose in the community. It is a place of refuge. It is a place of strength. It is a place where people can find God. It is a place where people can pray and lay their burdens down. And so he said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion. I'm going to come into this place, and I'm going to feel like I'm hidden from the world. I'm hidden from my troubles. If only for a couple hours, I'm in a safe place.
Yeah.
If only for a couple hours, I'm in a place where I can relieve myself. I'm in a place where I can breathe. I can breathe because I'm in the house of the Lord, and I'm hearing the words of God. I'm feeling the prayers of the people and the songs of Zion, and my heart is being lifted. There's something special about coming into the house of God. And so David knew it. He said, and for in the time of trouble, he's going to hide me in his pavilion.
Yes.
In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock.
Yeah.
So the storms are coming. Mm-hmm. Enemies on every side. But God is going to take me, and he's going to place me up here.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And that wind's going to come, and the rain's going to come, but I'm going to be safe. Because I'm going to be high upon a rock. When we come to the house of God, come and lay your burdens down. Let God lift you up so that when you leave this place, you can make it one more day. And so God has David in a place where his enemies are chasing after him. And David's heart desire is just to be in God's house one more time. And he also said that he would seek God while he's in his house. So let's talk about seeking God for a minute. So I don't come to church and just sit here and not participate. I don't come to church and just wait for somebody to pump me up. Oh, we hear it all the time. Oh, somebody praise the Lord. Well, nobody should have to tell you to praise the Lord. If you have come into the house of the Lord, you should be so ready. I want to see God. I'm seeking God. I'm looking for him. Don't nobody have to tell me to praise him. I'll praise him all by myself. That's what I came to do. I came to worship God. I came to seek God. And so we have to have a heart to come into the house of God. It is meaningless to come into the house of God not seeking him. If you don't seek him, you're not going to find him. But he said, if you seek me with all your heart, that you will find him. And so part of it is on him and part of it is on us. We want to leave it all to him, but it's not all up to him. I need to be a seeker. I need to be looking for God. I want to hear God. I don't want to get caught up on what's going in. I'm not even thinking about you. I'm here looking for God. I need God. God needs to help me. He needs to encourage me. He needs to bless me. And so I'm going to ignore all the people in this sanctuary, and I'm going to put my eyes on God.
He wanted
to be in the temple. It was his safe place. It was a place where he can hide from his enemies, hide from his troubles.
Yeah.
And for many of us, the sanctuary is the same place. There's some people who don't have no peace in their house.
Yeah.
And so they come on Sunday morning just seeking that place where they can release. Some people don't have no jobs. They don't have all their needs met. And they come into the house of the Lord looking to have their needs met.
Yeah.
And as ministers and as deacons and as ushers, we should make sure the people get what they need.
Amen. Amen.
We need to do our part. As leaders, we need to do our part.
Yep.
We need to show up with worship on our hearts. We need to show up with worship on our minds, because there's somebody in that congregation who needs to hear a word from the Lord.
Yeah.
And in verse 6, David said, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his temple. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Notice he said he's going to offer up sacrifices. His enemies are on his track. He don't feel like praising God. Nobody feel like praising God when things are going bad. But David said, I'm going to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Yeah, I'm going to come into his house and I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to come into his house and I'm going to be thankful. Yeah, the enemies are on my track. They want to take me out. They're all around me. But I'm going to come into the house and I'm going to praise my God. I don't care what's going on in my life. I am going to praise him. I'm going to offer up that sacrifice of praise because he's worthy. He is worthy of the praise. He is always worthy of the praise. And so David said, I'm going to be joyful. Sometimes you have to push yourself. Sometimes you have to push yourself to praise. Sometimes you have to push yourself to worship. But in the end, oh, the joy that will flood your soul. You have to push yourself sometimes. You have to offer up that sacrifice. No, I don't want to do it, but I'm lift my hands anyway. No, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to shout hallelujah anyway. Some people come to church and they never clap. They never raise their hand. They never shout hallelujah. They never do any of those things. They just come and they just sit. But David said, no, I'm going to come to the house, and not only am I going to get from God, I'm going to give God his. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to glorify him. I'm not going to think about how I feel. I'm going to think of who he is and the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. I am not going to offer up selfish worship. I'm going to come and I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and again say rejoice. I'm going to be giving God his glory and his praise in spite of my circumstances. That's a true worshiper. David was a true worshiper. He didn't care. He danced before the Lord. And people talked about him. He worshiped the Lord. And he didn't care. He was a worshiper. He was God's man after God's own heart. So I will sing praises. Yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. There should be joy in God's house. Amen. God forbid you go into the God's house and there is no joy. Amen. There is no laughter. There is no peace. There is no hope. No, this is the house of the Almighty God. Yeah. And then it's the house of the Almighty God. There needs to be love in the house. Yeah. There needs to be joy in the house. Yeah. There needs to be peace in the house. Yeah. We need to be kind to one another. We need to be loving one another so people can see that our God is real. They will not know that God is real if we just sit there like bumps on a log. They will not know that God is worthy of the praise if we just sit there and not say anything. They will not know even that our God is real if all we do is just come and sit. But oh, if we start worshiping him. Yes. Allow his spirit to come into the place. Shift the atmosphere. Yes. Then we will know. Then the world will know that our Redeemer still lives. Yes. He still lives. He still lives. Yes, and so he went from standing on the promises of God to wanting to be in his temple. And now we see David shift again. And he's in prayer. Amen. But that's what trials will do to you. You'll be shifting, praising him one moment, on your knees begging him on the next. Worshiping him one moment, crying out to him on the next. That's just the way of trials. That's just the way of life. That's just the way it is. But it's all good because God understands. Amen. He understands that we are human. He understands that we are frail. We understand when that we have the faith. The Bible says that men should always pray and not faint. So God knew that we were about to faint. He said, just pray about it. Don't faint. Just pray about it. And so now we have God, we have David praying. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Now he just done boasted all on the Lord of how he was his strength and how he was not fearing man. And now he's crying out, Lord, just hear me. God, David knows God is there. But David also knows himself. Do you know yourself? Do you know that you need the Lord? That as great as God is, you still need to cry out to him. That as great as God is, you still need to seek him. That as great as God is, he still wants to hear your voice. God wants to hear our voice. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. And so David is basically saying, Lord, if I've done anything that would keep you from helping me at this moment in time, Lord God, just forgive me. Just forgive me, Jesus. I need you and I need you right now. I have enemies on the left and enemies on the right. Just forgive me. I need to be forgiven because I need your help. Sometimes we go to God and we ask him for help, but we never stop to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, if there's anything that's keeping me from hearing from you, Lord, forgive me. If there's anything I've done to even cause this trouble, Lord, forgive me. Because when we ask God for forgiveness, the Bible declares to us that he is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. He felt like he was all alone. Have you ever felt like you were all alone? People all around you, yet you feel like you're all alone. David was feeling in a lonely place. Didn't know which way to turn, but he knew God was going to be there. But he wanted to make sure that God knew where his predicament. I'm in this place, Lord God. I'm looking for your help. Everybody's kind of abandoned me. Just me and you, Lord. Don't forsake me. Don't leave me in this by myself. I don't want to be here by myself. Well, the good news is Jesus promised what? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so David's going to get his promise.
Yeah.
And then 11, he says, teach me your way, O Lord.
Yeah.
And lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Uh-huh. I love that. Sometimes we think we always know what to do. Uh-huh. But the truth of the matter is we don't know what to do. If God doesn't teach us and lead us and guide us and make our path smooth, we're bound to stumble. He said, make my path smooth. Why? Because he wanted to be able to stand. Ephesians tells us to stand, and after you've done all, keep standing. But you can't stand on rocky ground. You can't stand on bumpy ground. He said, Lord, teach me your ways and lead me in a smooth path. Make it straight for me, Lord. Show me the way in which you would have me to go. Yeah. Help me not to stumble along the way because I got some enemies. And we know that God will do that. Why? Because God doesn't mind showing up our enemies. Yeah. In fact, he delights in showing our enemies that he is God in our life. And so he will lead you on a smooth path because of your enemies. He says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and such as breathe out violence. Yeah. Ain't nothing worse than a liar, especially when they're lying on you. And there's nothing you could do. When a lie go out, ain't nothing you could do about it. A lie goes out and it's out.
Yeah.
But God can take care of our enemies, those ones who are out to just destroy you. And that's, I heard a pastor say one time, he said, some people's tongues are like a weapon, like the sharpest gun in the world. Every time they speak, they shoot bullets. And that's how some people are, just mean, just nasty, just deceitful, just out to destroy you. And they do it all with their tongue. The Bible tells us the tongue is a dangerous thing. Amen?
Amen.
Who can tame it? Only person who could tame it is who? God. And that's only if you give it to him. If you don't give it to him, he can't tame it. But if you give it to him, he'll make it right. And so David know that he has these adversaries, and now his adversaries are lying on him, false witnesses, saying I did something I didn't do, saying I acted a way I didn't act. Just talking about me on the left and on the right. Lord, what am I supposed to do with these people who are accusing me of things that I did? Oh, just put your trust in God.
Yeah.
He will fight your battles. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, they're going to talk. There's nothing you can do with the talker but pray for them. There's nothing you can do with a liar but pray for them. And God can make sure that that shield of faith goes up and it will catch every fiery dart that he sends. And so God is on our side when we have enemies, especially when we have them talking about us, lying on us. God is on our side. And then verse 13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So what is David saying? David is saying, if I didn't know who God was, if I didn't know how good God was, if I didn't know how much he cared, how much he loved me, his compassion, his faithfulness, if I had not done that, I would have lost heart a long time ago. I would have just checked out a long time ago. But I remembered and I believed that God was good in the land of the living. Sometimes our problems try to dim our vision of who God is. But we have to remember that we serve a good God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a loving God. And even though we have trouble in our life, trouble won't last always. If we just keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, God will come in on our behalf. He said he will make our enemies our footstool. He said that all things are working together for good. And so if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, no reason to check out. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He is hopeful that God is going to step in and help them. We need to be hopeful that God is going to step in and help us. I don't know what your trouble is. I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to believe this morning that God is going to step in and help you, that all things are going to work together for your good, that he has already worked it out because he knows the end from the beginning. And so don't give up hope. Don't faint along the way. Don't check out. Just put your hands in God's hands. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He will take care of your enemies and your foes. He will lift you up on a high rock. He will put you in a safe place. God will take care of you. All we have to do is believe that even in spite of all the wickedness in the world, the goodness of the Lord will overshadow it all. If we just wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. If you just wait on him and be of good courage, don't be fearful. Don't be doubtful. Don't be anxious. Just wait on him and be of good courage. What's he saying? Know that he's going to come through. He is a God who cannot fail. Nothing is impossible with him. He can do it. If nobody else can do it, God can do it. If nobody else can fix it, God can fix it. Because he's just that kind of God. He is God Almighty. He is the most powerful one that there is. And he is working on our behalf to make sure that all things work together for our good. So I don't care what it looks like. If God is for you, who can be against you? God is going to see you through. He is going to bring you through. He is going to bless you. He is going to show you his goodness. He is going to show you his grace. He is going to show you his power. He is going to show you his might. He is going to show you his deliverance. He is going to set your soul free. He is going to heal your body. He is going to take care of your situation. He is going to deliver your children. He's going to do it all. Anything that you need God to do, God is going to do it, because hallelujah, it is the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He is a God who is able. He is able to do all things and do all things well. He will never fail you. He cannot fail. We serve a God who cannot fail. He is with us. He is with us. And he is the only one who is able. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but he is the vine."